Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. The website is GetRetiredStayRetired.com. Craig, welcome back to the show.
John, great to be with you. What a week. Roller coasters, lots to talk about. Trump, tariffs, NVIDIA, you name it. But the direction remains correct. As goes January, so goes the year.
So how is January going?
Well, I think January is going good. If you have a 401k, if you have a workplace retirement plan, an IRA, and you have an allocation to stocks in the United States, you saw a market where the S&P 400, large caps, mid caps, small caps, all rallied. And the best news of all is 10 of the 11 sectors in the S&P so far are positive for the month. That means this market rally is broadening. I'm hoping to see more evidence of that in the weeks to come.
You're not worried about NVIDIA and DeepSeek and what all of that means?
Of course I'm worried about DeepSeek, because anytime something comes out like this, do you know what the implications are? It challenges this notion of U.S. exceptionalism in the artificial intelligence space. But clearly, based on market reactions, people are going to continue to parse DeepSeek's cost. Did they really spend $6 million? Is their performance data real? Did they actually just use the large language models of OpenAI? I don't think it's a game changer yet, but it puts everyone on notice that America needs to stay in the forefront in the race to AI. And clearly, there's challenges from abroad.
There's talk that all this money invested in NVIDIA and those very expensive chips and the very expensive servers and cooling stations that house them is money that did not have to be spent, or at least there's a less expensive way to do all of this. And if that's the case, it makes you wonder about all of the money that's been thrown at these things.
It definitely calls to question. I do not deny that at all. I mean, using NVIDIA just as an example, I mean, there's a stock that was trading in the 70s not that long ago. We're talking about the early part of last year. Now it's $125 a share coming across my tape. But the truth is, the AI cycle is so substantive, so changing, and oftentimes the early leaders, they tend to set the pace and set the lead. So I think this is definitely noticeable, puts companies on notice that maybe we need to be more careful about how we spend and the cost to adopt, but it doesn't change or derail that artificial intelligence is being adopted throughout all industries to increase productivity, which hopefully should increase profits, which leads to better earnings per share that can continue to move markets higher.
We're talking to wealth advisor Craig Bolanos at VestGen Wealth Partners. Then what about the strength of the rest of the market?
Well, I'm encouraged by what I saw with mid caps so far this year, small caps, et cetera. And very specifically, I was happy that in the month of January, you saw progress made in financials, in healthcare, in some of the sectors that largely didn't participate. You know, the story has been about the Magnificent Seven, the Elite Eight, the FANG stocks, whatever acronym you want to choose to include. But if we can be on a place where we start seeing money and fund flow go into these other areas that performed well in January, I think that bodes well for an economy that looks like it's heading to a soft landing and allows markets to have a firmer base. And that should give people confidence to save and invest for their future retirement.
Well, then what do you make of Warren Buffett keeping all of that cash on the side?
You know, I think Warren Buffett has always done something and done something well, which is he has said to people, hey, you should have low-cost, tax-efficient investments for a portion of your portfolio. He's advocated for indexing. But in addition to that, his job at the company, Berkshire Hathaway, is to be active. And if you want to be active and you want to be opportunistic, sometimes you need to be what I call a contrarian investor. You need to go ahead and sell into strength, sit on cash and wait for better opportunities. And while I'm positive and constructive on 2025, I do think 2025 is going to be the year that volatility and VIX returns. We're overdue for those 5% dips. We're overdue for those 10 to 15% corrections. So I think a lot of us could realize that just as Warren Buffett rebalances, we should too.
Talking to Craig Bolanos here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. He's the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. What are you thinking about the Fed right now, either your forecast or what they say, what they've been saying lately, Craig?
Well, John, I think no one was surprised that after getting not one, not two, but three different policy decisions at the end of last year, that we were going to take a pause in January. And I think the pause is incredibly responsible. You and I talked just 2 weeks ago that I think the first chance in 2025 for rate cuts is the July or the September meeting. Nothing's going to happen before then because we need to see what type of fiscal programs are going to be coming out of Congress.
Canada's our number one trading partner. It's not clear what's going to happen today. What do you think would happen, though, if we imposed a 25% tariff on Canada?
It would be bad. And I really hope it wouldn't apply to energy prices because we do get a lot of oil coming out of Canada. So anything that is a tariff ultimately is a tax on the consumer. And between President Trump and his Treasury Secretary, the Treasury Secretary says 2.5% across the board. President Trump says 25. I hope someone's got the decimal point in the wrong place.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of decimal points, inflation is been described to me as stubborn, but is also fairly close to the target. What do you think about the inflation rate right now?
I think we're getting there. It is stubborn. It is persistent. It is sticky. But as our Chicago Fed president just said today, Austin Goolsbee, he said, hey, I'm not going to make too much of any one month. That was his quote. But he also said, quote, I have comfort. I won't say overconfidence, but he says he has comfort that we're on the path. And I think he's right. We're seeing a slowdown in the year-over-year change in shelter. That's been the biggest component of keeping these inflationary data higher. And if that breaks, we're not getting to 2% by the end of 2025. But I certainly don't think we're going back to 3.5 and 4. And that's welcome news for all investors and borrowers.
What do you think the Fed's going to do with rates this year? Are they going to give us 1, 2, 3 more cuts?
I think at best we get 2 cuts, but I think we'll get at least 1 additional rate cut in that July, more likely the September meeting. I think that's what people have to look forward to between now and then. It's just policy noise. All eyes are on Washington, D.C., and eyes are on corporate earnings and this economy where they should be. And yes, by the way, John, the economy, jobless claims, non-defense spending, retail sales, non-farm payrolls, services, it all looks good still.
Speaking of interest rates, though, Terry Savage and I visited with a guest on Wednesday who was much more the contrarian than you are. And among other things, he pointed to mortgages and people who just won't give up 3% mortgages. He really sees the housing industry as a weight on the economy, and he's fairly bearish about 2025. Just talk about that and the real estate sector in general.
I think the real estate sector is a little bit stuck. I mean, number one, we don't have enough housing for everybody, and we haven't had enough new home starts and new constructions. Obviously, the interest rates don't help, but I've said it on your show. I'll say it again, John. I think there's a large part of America who's committed to bunk beds because they're not going to part with their 3% mortgage. They're not going to upgrade from the 2 or 3 bedroom house to the 4 bedroom. They're just going to bunk bed the kids like we did in the 70s when mortgage rates were obscenely high. Today, they're high relative to where we were, but you're right. When people aren't switching houses, there's not a lot of consumerism that's happening around what people spend when they move. And that is a drag on the economy.
Speaking of consumerism, so eggs are expensive, and that probably is less due to economies as it is to the bird flu. I mean, it seems almost certainly that's what eggs are all about. Can you just talk about individual items in the grocery cart and what's expensive and what's relatively inexpensive right now?
Well, I'm going to tell you, the first thing that's expensive is on the other side of the pond in the UK. We call them crisps. I call them chips. My 99-cent bag of my favorite goodies, they're all $2.49 to $2.99, and there's five less chips. That's not going to change. What am I worried about right now? If these tariffs did come in from, you know, across the border, we put them on Mexico. I mean, I love a good cold beer, and I don't know people appreciate how much beer comes from Mexico. And think about this. There's nothing better than chips and guac. The price of avocados could skyrocket. So what am I focused on? I'm focused on the fact that we're all being asked to pay more, but I'm very focused as an investor on the fact that wages are growing now to help outpace the year-over-year change. Can't do anything about the damage that's occurred, but if we can continue to see wage growth, I think the American consumer will have brighter days ahead.
They don't say that, the American consumer. They don't call in and say, hey, John, food is expensive, but thank God I'm making more than I used to. Wages are increasing at a rate faster than the inflation rate, I understand, but it sure doesn't seem like people are feeling that.
There are, and let's be sincere, there are people that have been marginalized in this economy for so many reasons. So many reasons. There are people eating Hamburger Helper without the hamburger. I am very much aware of that, but I look at people's actions much more so compared to their words, and the amount of retail spending that consistently happens from various facets of the American consumer tells me that while everyone's mad and upset, people are not modifying their behavior yet.
Yeah, yeah, but I, you're not championing that, are you?
I'm not championing that because some of that spending is definitely being done on what I call borrowed time. I mean, no one borrows as well as the American consumer. That means our credit card balances are running very, very high, but we're not seeing any signs of delinquencies yet that would scare somebody to prevent them from investing. But I do want to be sensitive, John, to our entire listening audience that it's tough. The housing cost, the food cost on 123 Main Street, we know it's derailed some people and created hard choices.
We're talking to Craig Bolanos. Producer Pete, I'm looking at you, buddy. Do I have one more minute here to talk to our guest? Yeah, so we need to wrap this up. Last thoughts from you then, Craig. Overall, what are you thinking, seeing, feeling?
You know, you mentioned Warren Buffett earlier, and here's my comment. Warren Buffett clearly views that raising some cash in the fourth quarter of last year and continuing to do so in Q1 of 2025 makes sense. And I think that is screaming that everybody should be rebalancing their portfolios in accordance with their risk budget and their financial plan. That doesn't mean stock markets are about to be bad. It just means control your risk, because that's within each of us to do.
Nice to talk to you today, Craig. Always very interesting. Thanks for your thoughts.
Great to be with you, John. Thank you.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here's a business opening a new facility in Chicagoland, Clearbrook. Hollis Gorey is the COO. Hollis, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, and it's good that you do what you all do. We're talking about mental health, right?
Absolutely.
So tell me about Clearbrook. Where are you? Who do you serve?
Well, Clearbrook's a not-for-profit. We serve nearly 8,000 children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. From early intervention to end-of-life care, we support individuals throughout the gamut.
In the north suburbs? Are you in the city? Where are you?
We're in 80 different locations, so as far north as Gurnee, as far west as the Iowa border, and as far south as the Kankakee area.
You're a private nonprofit? What's the classification of you all?
Oh, yeah, we're a not-for-profit.
And then the people that use your services, is it sort of a clinical outpatient, or do you actually take people in? Do they live at Clearbrook?
Both. You know, there's a mental health crisis across the nation, and people with intellectual disabilities are also impacted. So our community mental health centers service not only individuals that we serve in our residential or our day programs, we also serve the community at large.
Now, you've opened up a new facility, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's exciting. It's our third community mental health center, and we just had a ribbon cutting this week, and it's open in Libertyville, Illinois.
Talk to me about a typical client. It sounds like it's a gamut that may be difficult to do, but give me a for instance. Who would be somebody that comes to you, and how do you help them?
Well, it could be a person that's experiencing depression. Maybe somebody that has autism and needs help with sensory needs. You know, we really, our clinicians are trained in working with our special population in order to meet their needs in whatever way is going to be meaningful. So whether that's art therapy or mindfulness or group work, you know, we try to provide a wide variety of ways that we can get in touch with the individual and help them cope.
So maybe a person with autism needs to do better picking up on cues. Would they go for essentially a class or a session with you all then?
Sure. They could do an individual therapy session. We offer virtual sessions. We have group work that we do both maybe in their day program, helping them through a situation, or in a group where, they're starting to talk to other individuals and learn about social cues, and almost practice those skills so that when they're out in the community. Yeah.
How do people pay for this?
Well, we take various different insurances, both private. We also take Medicaid and managed Medicaid. Want to have a diverse variety of payers so that we can meet everybody's needs.
Did you see a cessation of your funds, or were you worried about the freezing of your funds this week?
It was kind of a chaotic week for sure. Realistically, we were not impacted, although that was really unclear at the time. If it had been, it would have had a significant impact on our daily operations. You know, we rely heavily on federal and state dollars to fund our programs. So right now we're remaining calm, but continuing to monitor that not only internally, but within our legislative districts and trade associations.
Yeah, no kidding. So maybe people are advocating for you, but I could see how an organization like yours or others would be on call right now, would be apprehensive about the funding coming through, and not just this latest glitch or shot across the bow, but do you have a concern about continuing funding as you go forward with the new administration?
I think yes. I think that we have to remain vigilant, just like we have with any administration, to make sure that we're advocating for the individuals we serve. We saw an overwhelming amount of support this week when there was uncertainty. Everybody reached out to their networks. It was incredible. So while we may be worried, I think we have a good action plan in the event something happens.
What would that be?
Well, we have a call to action that we do internally here at Clearbrook, where we can send out mass emails and mass communications to not only our families, but constituents in the community. Yeah. We've also established really good relationships in our legislative districts with those representatives, and we'll continue to reach out to them.
Yeah, this isn't why we called, and I won't dwell on this with you, but I'm glad you're making that point, that if the idea is let's eliminate waste in government or whatever the reason is for this, let's also think about all of the people in red states and blue states and Chicago and Oklahoma that are benefiting from these programs. Do we really want to jeopardize the services you provide, particularly if it is for people who might not be able to afford it? Is a percentage of your clientele low income, or what's the range on that?
Oh, yeah. I would say 80% of the individuals we serve are low-income individuals.
Huh. Then what about your staff? How many people work at Clearbrook? What kind of employees do you have? Counselors, I presume, huh?
Yeah. We have about 900 staff at Clearbrook, and they range from individuals that work that work one-on-one with the person served, to occupational therapists, physical therapists. We have some social workers and some licensed counselors that work with individuals. So, yeah, our staff base really has a wide variety.
We're talking to the COO of Clearbrook, Hollis Gorey. So do the clients that come to you normally come to you of their own volition, or is it maybe a family member who says, I have a child, or a family member who has an issue and we need them to get some help?
Yeah, that's typically how they come to us, is through through a family, or we get a lot of referrals and things through school as well.
Oh, yeah. How would that look? I mean, we talked about maybe a child who lives with autism, but tell me about another kind of client.
We have individuals that maybe have a serious mental illness, like bipolar or schizophrenia. And, you know, in our population, just because they have an intellectual disability doesn't mean that they can't also have a serious mental illness. So what I really appreciate about what we're doing here at Clearbrook is that we've focused in on the needs of an individual that has a dual diagnosis, and our clinicians are trained to handle both of those things. For so many years, many of these individuals kind of fell through the cracks just because there wasn't a specialty. So with us opening up this third community mental health center, I think we're hitting our geographic area and being able to provide a real tailor-made service that is helping improve our clients' lives.
Does this new place in Libertyville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that focus on one kind of mental health or service, or is it the whole gamut?
It's the whole gamut, from children to adults. Our clinicians have to be real flexible. So we serve kids there, we serve adults, and we've even done some family counseling as well.
You said 8,000 clients, is that right?
Mm-hmm. 8,000 children and adults, yes.
Yeah. How long have you all been out there?
In the Lake County area, we've been out there nearly 30 years. Our community mental health center is quite new, but we've been providing services at our Wright Home location, which is an intermittent care facility. It's for more medically fragile individuals, so have been there for a while.
Do you service people that have physical disabilities as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
And do those go hand in hand, or maybe there's no mental or intellectual issue, but it's just a physical handicap? They would be clients for Clearbrook as well?
We absolutely. In our community mental health centers, we absolutely could see people that just had a physical disability, yes.
Hollis, this is very interesting. I'm encouraged to hear that you're out there, that you're being proactive, and that you're doing the work that you all do. Congratulations on the opening of the new facility.
Oh, thanks so much, and thanks for giving us some time today. I appreciate it.
It's a new community mental health center in Libertyville, and the COO of Clearbrook is Hollis Gorey. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Let's catch you up on more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The search is underway for tenants to fill the transformed James R. Thompson Center in Chicago. Cranes reports Google has hired leasing agents to help fill the space where it plans to move its local headquarters. The leasing agents are marketing seven floors of the building at 100 West Randolph. The overhaul of the Thompson Center has been underway for nearly a year. Under a deal with the state of Illinois, Google will purchase the property once the renovation is completed. The company will reportedly occupy space on floors 3 through 9. Other tenants would lease space on floors 10 through 16. Chicago-based Veradigm, the healthcare tech company formerly known as Allscripts, has not been able to find a buyer after conducting a review of strategic alternatives. Veradigm will move forward with what it's calling a standalone strategy. The company has hired an advisor to help conduct a business review to identify possible operational improvements and organizational alignment. The goal is to generate profitable growth and emerge from a period of turmoil. The company was removed from the NASDAQ stock exchange last year after failing to file some financial reports. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, now the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And this ought to qualify for a feel-good Friday. Food price inflation is slowing down and is expected to slow down even more this year. Notice I did not say food prices are going down. Just the rate at which they're going up is slowing down. Okay, I've got an economist standing by to give you numbers to munch on after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Okay, Megan Schweitzer is standing by. She's an economist with the USDA and has a forecast for how much we will be paying for grocery store food this year compared to last year.
We are expecting them to grow by 1.3%, 0.1% higher than what we saw in 2024.
And?
That's lower than the long-term average over the past 20 years, which has seen average annual growth of 2.6%.
It's a downward trend from a few years ago.
We're really expecting kind of this trend that we've seen seen since the beginning of 2023 where prices moderated following those really high increases in 2022. We're expecting to see that continue into 2025.
And while some food items are costing less or are flat, there are some that are still spiking.
Prices for beef and veal declined in December by 0.2%, but prices were up by 4.9% from last December. Other than eggs, beef and veal was the fastest growing category over the past year.
Okay, well, she mentioned eggs, so go ahead, Megan. What is the forecast for egg prices this year?
We are predicting egg prices to increase by 20.3%, and that is the category that we expect to grow the fastest by far.
But overall, she says food at home prices are expected to go up only a little this year, and that is my Feel Good Friday report. From the dairy farm to your belly, tomorrow's National Ice Cream for Breakfast Day. Does anybody celebrate that? It's also National Dark Chocolate Day, and Sunday is National Tater Tot Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Maybe you should just win a game show, and all of your financial problems will be solved. Drake Cunningham is here, operations manager at Great Big Game Show. This is a new feature at Oak Brook in Chicago's western suburb. Drake, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I've been reading about what you guys are doing. Tell us, what is Great Big Game Show?
Yeah, Great Big Game Show is a live-hosted game show experience where you can play with your friends and family as the contestants. It's an hour-long experience packed with classic TV-style mini game show games. Games of luck, skill, strategy, trivia, everything under the sun. You play in a real game show studio set with lights, music. There's even a live game show host.
So is this sort of a pop-up at the Oak Brook Mall?
This is a permanent placement. We are there to run our shows, open 7 days a week.
Are you in other cities? You're in Chicago now, but you've done this elsewhere, right?
Yes, we have. Chicago is actually our sixth location. We have Nashville, Tennessee, Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas. We are now in Oak Brook. We have Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco and Mall of America in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I could see you guys at the mall. And I can see you in Oak Brook, too. So maybe as an outing, we're going to go, is it like Jeopardy? Is it like Wheel of Fortune? Is it like Survivor? What am I doing?
It is a little bit like everything, but also just a little bit different to make sure we keep it unique and make sure that fun is as great big as it can be. Nothing too crazy Survivor style. We are not going to make you do too many physical challenges, but it's a lot of luck, skill, trivia. We have a great big wheel. We have buzzers for you to answer trivia questions, fast-paced competition style.
So is it one-on-one, or is it my family against your family? What is the situation with the competitors themselves?
It is either one. As long as we have at least two contestants, we can run a game show. It is a head-to-head challenge, but we can fit up to 14 contestants in each studio for a 7-on-7 battle. So depending on what kind of experience you're looking for, we can host it all.
So I guess I need to make an appointment. I can't just show up and try it, or can I?
We do take reservations, but we also take walk-ins. So long as we have availability in our schedule, we are more than happy to have people walk up and play a game show.
So you got Wink Martindale there in a suit, and then if you sign up, the game is on and away you go, huh?
Absolutely.
And is it on the hour, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock? You said it's a 60-minute event, right?
It is a 60-minute event. So we do start as early as 8 in the morning, and we do have 4 studios at our Oak Brook location. We are staggered a little bit between those, about a 10-15-minute turn between our studios, and then 30 minutes per each studio between the game show. So usually you'll have a game show going about every 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, I see. Okay, so just give me an example of a kind of question I would be asked or a game I would get to play.
Perfect. So one of our more popular games is a trivia game show called Blockchain. It is a game where teams buzz in to answer trivia questions. And one of the simplest questions you might get would say it starts with the letter R, and the question would be, what is the opposite of left? The answer being?
Right.
That's right. 100%.
Wow. Oh, I like this game. It's easy, and I will win. Actually, I don't win anything, though, right? It's just the experience, or do I get lovely parting gifts? Do I get $1,000? What do I get?
You win a lifetime supply of bragging rights and a whole lot of fun memories for you and your friends and family.
Drake Cunningham is the operations manager at Great Big Game Show. It's in Oak Brook, so you'll want to click on greatbiggameshow.com, greatbiggameshow.com. And it sounds like all ages, huh?
Absolutely. We do recommend usually ages 6 and up, but we have had contestants of all ages come and visit us. And it's great for groups with different age ranges between them. Kids have come in with their parents and grandparents, and all ages have a great time.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like fun. Okay, so this is at Oak Brook. It's the Oak Brook Mall, right?
That is correct. We're at 554 Oak Brook Center in Oak Brook, Illinois.
That's Drake Cunningham, greatbiggameshow.com, greatbiggameshow.com. Looking for something to do. That sounds like unique family fun. Good luck to you, Drake. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. You have a great rest of your day.